I've entitled this message Lockdown Review. And the Prime Minister was asked this week, I don't know if you saw the interview, what things could have been done differently with regards to the Westminster government's response to COVID-19. No doubt the timing and motivation of the question and indeed the adequacy of the response will be a subject of debate. However, the question is useful if we apply it to ourselves spiritually. How have I stood, reacted, responded during this lockdown period? It has undoubtedly been a period of testing, of trial, in so many different ways, and it affords us a good opportunity to honestly take stock. In Scripture, we are constantly encouraged, warned, exhorted to review our life, to scrutinize the choices we are making, to self-examine. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, for example, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. John Fletcher of Madeley would ask 12 questions of himself each night. I'll put them later on the WhatsApp group. But for example, question 8, what have I done for the souls and bodies today of God's dear saints? Or question 10, have I governed well my tongue this day? Now, why would he ask himself these things? Why are we called to examine ourselves? Why are we urged to make our calling and election sure? Well, because of Matthew 7:14, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's from our reading, isn't it, that verse? And it's the closing part of the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at the start of the sermon a few weeks ago, if you remember, with the Beatitudes, or the beautiful attitudes. And as the Lord Jesus is finishing his message, remember, he's speaking to his disciples, the crowds have drawn in and are listening and are enraptured. He's warning of the need of the hearers, both his disciples and the crowds, to apply his words to their lives. There's all the difference in the world, isn't there, between hearing and doing. We're told as much in James, aren't we? James 2, verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. I can think of an illustration. Imagine now you've got some complaint medically, something not quite right, and you take the trouble to go to the doctors. You manage to get a doctor's appointment. You go to the doctors, and now it might be over video conference, but the doctor makes a diagnosis, gives a prescription. You take that prescription to the chemist. The medicine is dispensed and you get home. But the medicine is still in the packet. All of the above is of no use if the medicine hasn't been taken and isn't being used. You see? So the difference between hearing and putting into the practice, there's all the difference in the world. And right at the end of the sermon, a very famous parable, the Lord gives between with a wise and foolish builder, the wise and foolish builders. And the wise, the only difference really is that the wise puts into practice what he hears. The foolish hears the same. The foolish hears the same, but just doesn't put it into practice. In fact, just dwelling now on this wise and foolish builder proverb, parable, the only difference between the two is the foundation. You can picture it, can't you? There's two building projects going on in the same location, it seems. And one takes the time, spends the money, exerts the efforts in digging down to the rock. Now, I had a builder come round this week, and over our lockdown period, we've had a family project, which is a quarry. So Clangina Quarry. And it's just moving some of the earth to the side of the house. It's something to get us out and get us active. And, well, it's left a big pile of earth that needs a retaining wall next to it now. And the builder came round, and it was important how many blocks were going to be put on, and the thickness of the blocks, and so on and so forth. But the most important and the most fundamental is the footings, the foundation. And yeah, when you're faced with that, you've got to go backwards, haven't you? You've got to dig out, and you want to build a wall. You want to get on with getting a wall built. You want to see your money being into this thing, something you can see. You can't see the foundations. You spend the time digging out. You can't, it takes effort. You're going backwards. You've got to go backwards, it seems. Nobody can tell what you're doing. It seems it takes a long job. It's arduous. It's expensive. And so in this parable, one takes the time, is cautious enough, is sensible, spends the money, and exerts the energy, and digs down to the rock and lays a foundation. The other doesn't bother. He builds on the sand. And there we are, sand's quite, you can rake it into flat. It's quite easy to lay blocks on. You soon have good progress made. And to any casual onlooker who would be walking past, you can imagine, can't you, there's the two building sites and perhaps two plots that have been bought. And the casual onlooker, I don't know, walking his dog every day, well, the one would seem to be going places. That building's going up quick. The other one, weeks later, still is digging out. And there seems to be nothing going on. And if we assume that the houses are being built in the same locality at the same time, then the one who is building on the sand appears to be progressing much quicker. And indeed, without the hassle of the foundation, without the cost of the foundation, without the time and energy taken up of laying that foundation, that builder probably can spend more time on the outside and on the appearance and on the house itself, and perhaps a better finish or however it would be. And so we're left with this picture of two houses. And to all intents and purposes, there's no difference between them. Perhaps indeed, the one that's built on sand maybe looks a bit better. Maybe there's more money on the finish. We don't know. That's just speculation. But the point is, once the houses are built, who can tell? Nobody can tell. To all intents and appearances, they're the same. And yet there's a fundamental difference, isn't there? There's a fundamental difference. And we're told, aren't we, how is it possible to distinguish? How can these two houses be distinguished? Well, there is a way, and it's the weather, the forces of nature. The rain comes down, the floods come up. Maybe it's next to a river, who knows, and the river bursts its banks. The wind howls, gusts, beating on the house. And there's a great difference, isn't there? You see, the one without the foundation can't take the weather, because it has no foundation, there's no strength, there's no security. It's built on sand, which is foolish. Builder is described as being foolish, foolhardy. Yes, quicker progress, but ultimately, penny wise, pound foolish. Short-term gain, long-term loss. And what happens to that? A great crash. And the house where the man took longer, was more cautious, more laborious, more energy exerted, yet that man, I'm sure, could sleep at night with his head on his pillow because he had confidence, because he'd done things right, he'd done things the right way. And then when the same weather comes, it's the same weather, yet the house stands firm. So there's one fundamental difference between the two houses. One has a foundation, the other doesn't. And there's one fundamental difference when that trial of weather comes. One stands, the other collapses. And so how has lockdown been for you? You know, in the weather, it suggests tests and trials. If we apply that parable to us, well, clearly, the only difference between two people is one has a foundation, the other doesn't. And we're talking now about Christians, the difference between Christians and counterfeit Christians. Now, throughout the last section, the small gate, the big gate, the narrow way, the broad way, the false prophet in sheep's clothing, the good tree and the not so good tree, the tree that bears good fruit, but the tree that bears fruit, but it's not good. Throughout all of that last section, the Lord Jesus is teaching certain things. One of them clearly is that we are to put into practice what we hear. The true Christian is one who not only hears, but acts upon what he hears. He applies the word of God to his heart. There's Jesus. He's given this glorious sermon. And indeed, people were enraptured. He spoke as one who had authority. There was a difference. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Here is this man. And who spoke like this man before? But it's not enough to be mesmerized. It's not enough to be engaged. It's not enough to be thrilled even by what is heard. These words must be put into practice. These words must be applied. And then also, clearly, the subtlety. The subtlety. You see, to all intents and purposes, there may be no visible difference between the true Christian and the counterfeit Christian. The two, just as the houses, they both seem the same. You can't see under the ground. You can't see into somebody's heart. But then when those trials come, then when those judgments come, then when those tests of faith come, then you can see a difference. And what about the false prophets? Well, you see, not everybody who is preaching is declaring the Bible is preaching the true gospel, and not everybody who's preaching the true gospel even. Think of Paul in Philippians 1, where there were those who preached the same message, used the same method, but their motives were entirely different. You see, in other words, there's an angel of light who will seek to deceive, and there's that small gate, there's that big gate. We're not talking here necessarily about the word, we're talking about world, we're talking about people who are interested in these things. And you can imagine, can't you, there's a small gate, there's a big gate, and there's that false prophet. There's that one saying, well, look, you know, there's a narrow gate. You're going through a narrow gate, you've got to get rid of your bags of self-righteousness, of good deeds, of all the rest of it. You've got to come just as you are, and only you can come, and it's a tight squeeze, and you've got to go through that narrow gate. In other words, you've got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to trust in him and in him alone. There's a conviction of sin, this reality that in you and in yourself, you're hopeless and helpless. And you get to that point where you realize it's only through him, and you go through that narrow gate. But then there's this bigger gate next to it, perhaps, and it's easier to get through. It means you can bring some of your stuff with you. And there's the equivalent of saying, well, you know, you don't have to leave all your sin behind. You know, you can help yourself in salvation, and all these things that sound so good. Well, there you are, the two people. One goes through the narrow, one goes through the big gate, and it seems as though they're on the same path, because at first there's not much to distinguish. You know, the subtleties of following this gospel, which isn't really the gospel, this gospel of light, the subtleties of thinking that you're on the right road, the subtleties of thinking, and you look to the left and to the right, and to all intents and appearances, you've learned the language, you've kind of fitted in, and there's not much difference. But there is a difference, isn't there? And God in his mercy sends trials and tests of faith. Now, ultimately, we know, don't we, that there is a judgment, a day of judgment. And indeed, this last section points to that. So broad is a road that leads to destruction. And then we have later on, we have about the bad fruit and bad tree being cut down and thrown into the fire. And then we have that person who is even able to say, Lord, Lord, you know, that earnest, zealous person who's absolutely mistaken, because they're doing things they never knew. There was never that experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was all this activity. They had natural gifts, perhaps, or God in his sovereignty allowed them to get on and do things, or even there was a satanic influence, who knows, to deceive people, and that they did these great and marvelous things in people's sights, and yet they never even knew Jesus, and they'll be ushered away, go away. And then you have with this with the buildings, this great crash. There's a final judgment. There is a final judgment. But God in his mercy sends remedial judgments, sends tests, sends trials. And I think obviously, clearly, lockdown has been such a period. So we come back to it. A review of lockdown for yourself. Where did you turn to? Who did you turn to? What were your responses, your reactions, your thoughts? Did your world fall apart? You know, if there are alarm bells from this lockdown period, you know, you've not had, our time has been tipped upside down, hasn't it? Well, if there are alarm bells, if there are concerns, don't hide them away. If there are doubts, don't bury them. Bring them into the light. examine them. You see, this is the wonderful thing. You know, if you once you've built a house and there's no foundation, there's not really much you can do. But there are remedial works. So say a wall hasn't been built properly. There are things you can pile it, you can drill into it, you can do subsequent remedial works to help. Well, you see, if there are aspects of your life where that have been brought out through this lockdown review, through this lockdown period, if there are aspects of your life where you think, this just, oh dear, you know, then what can you do? Well, you can bring them into the light. You can ask the Lord to examine your heart. You can help you to see these things. You see, it's your testimony isn't just, I went through the small gate. Your testimony is, I'm on the narrow way. You see, what is your testimony today? Are you on the narrow way today? And if during this lockdown period there have been things that would set the alarm bells going, then what can we do? Well, we do exactly what we're always to do. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, how can we apply these words? How can we truly put them into practice? We need his grace. We need his strength. We come to him just as we are. And so we say, Lord, if it is that I've never truly gone through the small gate, if it is, I've hopped over the fence, or I've been deceived and gone through that broad gate, and I've kind of joined the race, as it were, but I'm not really on the right track. I'm still on that broad road. Then, Lord, I come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come back and I repent and I trust again, only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is that I thought I've gone through the small gate, but I still feel as though I'm looking at my life now and my reactions and my responses, even in this trial and this test of lockdown, then maybe I've stopped daily applying God's word to my life. I've stopped conforming myself, my schedule, my choices to his commands. Perhaps it is that there isn't that vital relationship. Perhaps it is I can't say I know him and he knows me. Perhaps it is those things are a dim and distant past. Then what's happened? We've come off the narrow way. We've lost our way. We've lost our track. What do? The same thing. We come back to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. We cry out to him to be saved again, as it were. You see, the person who is building their life on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is hard, isn't it? It is a battle. It does require exertion. Daily, we have to deny ourselves. Daily, we have to apply that word to our hearts. Daily, we have to labor in the word, as it were. But you see, the difference between that wise and foolish, when the wise man put his head on the pillow at night and heard the storms coming, he was confident that he'd done the right things. He could sleep well at night. The man who just skipped things, the man who thought, well, I'll save money doing that, no confidence. He wouldn't have slept at night, and rightly so, because his house would have been washed away. Have you really come to the Lord? Have you really trusted in him? Daily, are you really living for him? Are you really putting into practice what he commands? In other words, are we obedient? You see, Christ said elsewhere, I don't require sacrifice, I don't require this, that, and the other. I require obedience. It's easy to nod. It's easy to be a nodding dog, a Churchill dog. It's easy to nod in agreement. But that's not where it's at. In our lives, when it comes, push comes to shove, in the choices of our life, do we obey him? Do we put him first? Well, a glorious opportunity, isn't it? This lockdown review, it's been a time of different things, but really a good time to examine ourselves in this time. England are playing the cricket this at the moment, aren't they? And they have your reviews. And you hear the commentators say, don't waste a review. Well, don't waste a review. Don't waste this opportunity. Honestly ask the Lord before him. Consider your actions. Consider your reactions. Consider your responses. Consider how you've been in lockdown. Is your life on a good foundation? Is it on the Lord Jesus Christ? He is our cornerstone. He is our foundation. If our life is built on him, if we're trusting in him, if we're seeking to obey him, however small and hard work our progress might seem in our lives, it might feel as though it's one step forward, two steps back. It might feel sometimes as though we're going backwards. It might feel that this life is so hard. We're aware of the opposition. We're aware of the difficulties. Yes. But our life is on a good foundation. That's what matters. And when that judgment comes, ultimately, when either I die or when he comes again, will I be able to stand? If I'm standing on Christ, yes, because he is my rock and my salvation. If I'm standing on anything else, even if it's great achievements, even if it's great applause from people in the church, even if it's great memorization of scripture, all the rest of it doesn't mean a thing. We'll fall with a great crash. Well, thank God for the lockdown. Thank God there's an opportunity to review. Thank God it presents an opportunity to examine ourselves. Pray that we would do. And pray even in examining ourselves, perhaps there would be that fresh assurance that, yes, I am his and he is mine. And yes, perhaps it is. I'm stumbling on that narrow way a little bit. Perhaps it is. I have to go back to basics and obey him and put him first. But nevertheless, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to review things. Pray that you'll hear and respond even today to his word. It's not enough to hear it. It's to respond, isn't it? I pray that we would do. Amen.